Okay, before we jump into another episode of RHO D&D, we wanted to take a quick moment to shout out our amazing patrons over at patreon.com/housewivesofd&D. We're an entirely independently run show, and we quite literally couldn't do it without your support. So thank you for joining our Patreon and helping us continue to make new episodes of RHO D&D. If you haven't checked it out yet, head on over to patreon.com/housewivesofd&D for access to our player character sheets, DM notes and confessionals, video versions of our episodes, our full-length behind-the-scenes podcast released every other Monday on our off weeks, live events, merch drops, the chance to name an NPC, and so much more. Patreon.com/housewivesofd&D.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
RHO D&D is a sexy, terrifying, savage podcast for mature audiences. Content warnings can be found in the episode notes, along with links to all of our maps, transcripts, and ancillary content.
Last week on RHO D&D, the housewives prepared to leave the Sisterhood of the Traveling Plants. Keke started things off with a bang when she tried to attack Sister Pluvius with her trusty blowgun, then put her fingernails to good use climbing a tree to sleep in. In the morning, Keke had had enough of this tiny settlement full of tiny halflings and immediately left for Other City on Brock. Safe travels, Keke. Anya got her feelings hurt by yet another of her companions and caught Dr. Siep on the events that transpired since they left the Vulture Queen's tomb. She also expressed concern about Stone Dragon Cece's well-being in Cass's bag of holding, but was too wounded by Cass to try to get Cece out. We're sure it's fine. Dr. C and Anya stole Cass's horse and followed after Keke, but not before Dr. C read the first chapter of the Tome of the Vulture Queen and learned a little bit more about what her new title entails, including an ability that lets her summon more vultures. Could Christian have some competition? And Cass had a big day, starting with a mysterious dream that brought some new abilities and some new concerns. But she felt her worries melt away when she drank the liquid inside an ice fruit and transformed into a puddle of silvery goo. Will Cass ever turn back into a human? For that matter, will Cece? Will Dr. C reveal that she is now the Vulture Queen? And will Kiki's current truce with Anya keep her from eating Bryn's new pet? Or is a cat named Meat just too much of a temptation? Find out this week on RHO D&D. Okay, so Cass, you have just taken a sip of ice fruit liquid, and you felt a weird shudder go all through your body, and now you have turned into a puddle of goo on the ground next to the fire pit.
Your crown is on a pile on top of your clothes, next to your bag of holding.
You are Alex Mack now.
And okay.
You can still talk out loud.
Is there like a mouth?
No, it's just like more of like an auditory telepathic quality thing going on.
Okay.
So her ring is off, so she could probably ring people.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, but Can't make the motion, but got it off.
Right, because
I do think it came off.
Yeah, it came off.
Nice.
Sick.
Is the bag of holding also liquefied?
No.
So all my belongings are the same. It's just my body has liquefied.
Yes. It's like the Christian Left Behind series.
Wow, what a pull. Okay. What a pull.
Okay, so I'm gonna go.
Hello? Sister Pluvius? Hello?
I feel like Sister Pluvius kind of hears her name and turns around but doesn't see anyone.
It's me. It's over by the fire. Hello?
Sister Pluvius walks towards the fire.
Can you roll, Cass, an involuntary stealth check? You're not trying to be sneaky, but...
I just want to see if people can see you.
10.
Okay, great. Sister Pluvius looks down and sees the puddle.
Can I see her? Can I see?
Huh.
What's the vibe?
Could Alex Mack see?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think, Alex, because she was zipping through all those.
Yeah, she knew what was up.
Ducts. Mm-hmm.
So I see her, like, peering over me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hello. Hi, Sister Pluvius. It's me, Cassandra Kasternak, down here. Update. I don't know if you remember mere moments ago when you described the wonders of the ice fruit and how it does magical things. Yes?
She nods. She says,
I remember.
Oh, good. So, I've drank the ice fruit, and now here I am.
This is the worst.
I think this is the best.
So good. Sister Pluvius, like, kind of looks down at you like, what do you want me to do about it?
Obviously. I've transcended into my astral state.
Who is the witch now?
This might be alarming for you to see for the first time, but obviously this is something I'm familiar with and in full control of. Mm. When I'm in the astral state, it's very, very important for me to have my second in command right by my side. Mm. Now, I haven't chosen yet a second in command, but... You seem fit for the job.
Oh. Ooh, persuasion.
How do you feel
persuasion
about standing by my side?
Okay. Ooh. Persuasion. And now I have an extra 2 than I used to have with persuasion, right? Yeah. So 23.
Wow.
God damn.
Oh, wow. Sister Pluvius feels very good about this.
Yeah, she accepts.
Yeah, she's into it.
Fantastic.
So she nods like a sense of duty has been, you know, bestowed upon her.
Oh, my God. Beautiful.
And you realize that her weird reaction just a few moments ago may have just been residual feelings of her, like, feeling ashamed. It had nothing to do with you.
Mm, wonderful.
Great. Great news. I'm so pleased. Back in my world, we would call each other best friends. And I give you permission to use that same terminology here.
She's speechless.
Right? Yeah, she's excited, but, like, again, she's not really sure what exactly you want from her.
Truly.
Good. So, yes, since I'm in this astral state, I no longer have what one might call a body. So what I need from you is if you could perhaps find a receptacle to pour me into or some other way.
You can move.
Of picking me up off the ground.
Yeah, can she zip around like Alex Mack?
Yeah, you can zip around like Alex Mack.
Oh, okay, so Sister Pluvius. So Cass is going to squirm out from the pile.
Great.
And be like, can I, like, morph myself into something?
Different shapes of puddles.
Yeah.
Just different shapes of puddles.
You might be able to kind of, like, you know, climb up something or slither down something, but
I'm still
you can't.
Just a blob.
You can rightly be absorbed by a paper towel in this
state. What if
state?
Someone were to drink this?
That's a really good question.
Could Kiki drink Riley?
Yeah, we now have a lot of questions for you. You have set this up. And...
No to the paper towel. TBD to if anyone can drink Cass.
Okay. Put a pin in that one.
So, Pluvs. My baby Pluvs, can you... So here's what I'm going to need for you to do. So first and foremost, as my second in command, one of the most important things for us to maintain at all times is our stuff. Mm. So I need you to make sure that all of my stuff is very safe. That includes my wolf puppy, Clarissa, who is sort of like, second in command, but like of the animals.
Clarissa was not attached to Cass at the time when she consumed the ice fruit. It only affected Cass. So is Clarissa still in her puppy
baby Bjorn?
I just assumed she was still sleeping on the foot of Cass's bed.
Yeah.
Like, could Clarissa drink Cass on accident?
I mean, I think at that moment, Clarissa comes right on up and just does a few little laps.
Oh my God! You know?
No, she sniffs. Does she sniff first or is she going right for it?
What happens?
She's not like drinking it though. It's more because it's so
it's like thick.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. It's tickly. It tickles.
Got it. It's more like gack.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Gack.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Got it.
Okay.
So, yes. Yeah, so, Pluvius, we're clear on that? Like, all of my belongings, anything that was mine, anything else that you see that I might want, if you could just gather that all together and make sure it's extremely safe, your highest security, the stuff is the first and foremost priority.
Yes, Pluvius understands, and she scurries off to gather what you've requested that she get.
And to say goodbye to a few of the sisters that maybe she was planning on going back home with, or, you know, things have changed for Pluvius right now.
One more question regarding the puddle of it all.
Just one more.
Yeah. So since her clothes were in a heap around her, that means mm-hmm. that if Cass is able to reform, she will be completely naked.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
Great. Love that.
Boy.
Really looking for an opportunity to use that to our advantage.
So I guess while Pluvius is going to gather Cass's belongings, she like feels a sense of relief that I don't think she's ever felt in her whole life. Because all she has to do at that moment is just be a puddle of goo.
Yeah.
You know, she's always been like on display. She's been in the public eye. She's been in charge of the empowerment of many tiers of other women. Mm-hmm. And it just feels nice for once to be like, I am just all you have to do today. It's just be a puddle of goo.
Maybe Cass will be a better person after this experience.
Maybe despite all your rage, you're just a Cass in a small cage.
Ooh.
Thank Maybe. You.
Thank great. You. So while Pluvius is scurrying about and Cass is, you know, feeling her feelings, shall we check in with the group who left the settlement?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So, yeah, Kiki, you're in the lead.
Yeah, what's around?
So you are riding through the woods on this path, and you know you're up ahead. Dr. C and Anya are behind, but still, like, you know, within shouting distance. Like, you're not that far behind. And as you follow the path, you follow Sister Pluvius' directions, you know, out of the settlement. And sure enough, eventually you do soon come across a fork in the road where the path divides, and a wooden sign tacked to a tree reads "To Othar City," with painted arrows pointing in both directions. One of the paths curves up a tall, craggy hill, and it looks very long, and the other leads directly into the forest. And the paths are labeled High Road and Low Road.
Oh, Christ.
Kiki does, like, a quick little shrug and goes left.
Which is which way?
Which one is that?
The High Road.
High Road.
Dr. C is going to see that and then kick
Cordelia.
Cordelia into motion and kind of trot up behind, try to catch up next to Kiki and be like, hey, hi, are we sure we want to go uphill?
Kiki pretends not to hear anything.
And just like goes forward.
Yeah, it just continues.
Okay.
She hasn't even stopped.
Yeah, you just see that glint of one of Brock's diamond earrings sparkle as she rides off. Christian the vulture makes a big squawking sound and swoops near you and like lands on a branch right by your side. He's going to follow you wherever you go.
Oh, that little babe.
Yeah.
I guess Dr. C kind of then slows down to have Anya catch up to her. Mm-hmm. And he like, I know I missed a lot, but Kiki's still chaos, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we found her outside of cave in cart and she had big black eye. And we said, what happened? What happened? And she said, I know, right? Every time we ask her, she just go, I know, right?
Are we sure we should be following her up this hill?
I mean, I'm seeing High Road, Low Road. I like Michelle Obama. You know, when they go low, we go high. I'm going to take the High Road, I think.
Dr. C looks up at Christian and looks down at Anya and is like, okay, I guess. And where are we going?
We asked Sister P and we're going to Othar City.
Right, what is Othar City?
You know, it is a place with people who aren't in a cult, so I'm already very on board.
I'm in. Say less. Let's go.
And off we go.
Great. So you all follow the High Road, and the High Road, it veers off to the left, curving up the slope of the hill. And the day is warm, and as your horses climb, the sun heats the tops of your heads and the backs of your necks. Down below...
As someone with dark hair, I feel that harder than anyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And down below, peeking through the trees, you can just make out, like, bits of the low road as it winds through the forest. But yeah, it's you're out in the open. It's a beautiful day.
Kiki's like, there's always gonna be another mountain.
Yes.
It's always gonna make you wanna move. She's just, like, vibing.
Yeah. Oh, glorious. Yeah, I think with that, we go back over to Cassandra the Puddle.
Yeah, so Sister Pluvius returns to you, and she has gathered all of your belongings. She has a satchel full of food. She's really kind of, like, weighted down. She looks like she's, you know, going on some big camping expedition. And she has a little glass jar, if you'd like to get into it. But, she holds it out to you as though she's not sure what would be appropriate in this situation.
Yeah, I think Cass is going to get in the jar.
Are you like a banana slug? Like, is that how you're doing it? Or does she have to like help scoop you in?
Like slime mold, you know? Like, yeah, I can scoop myself. I can get myself in the jar.
She lays it on the ground so you can scoot into it.
Does she put a cap on it? Does it need air holes? I'm very concerned.
No cap. No. It's just a container so that I feel a little bit more dignified. I'm not just like slithering around in the dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can imagine like you want to see out a little bit. So it's like a pancake.
This.
Flopped over.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah.
Just peeking over the edge.
That's it. Yeah. That's it.
I have a question. Are there extra horses at the settlement?
There are. The sisters have, they have like little horses.
Yeah. Little horses.
Yes. Sister Pluvius, I'm going to need you to prepare for a journey for yourself and myself and your best fighter. Any fighters around? Any fighters in the group?
That is Sister Pluvius, actually.
She's the strong one, yeah.
You're the strong. Tell me more about yourself, Pluv. What's your whole backstory?
Sister Pluvius has never been asked this question before and certainly wasn't expecting it today.
It's okay. You can just come up with it off the top of your head.
Sister Pluvius tells you about how she grew up in a small, small, small village deep in the woods, so small that the sisterhood seems like a large village to her. And really, there were just three families there, and they had all left a larger settlement because in her parents' generation, because they didn't like it out in the world. It felt too dangerous. And so they decided as these three families to move into the woods. And then they did that. But then, of course, you know, as the parents grew older and the children grew older, like there wasn't really a ton for them to do. And then, you know, they all knew each other too well. And like you couldn't marry your siblings. So people started to scatter again and go back out into the world. And Pluvius, her parents died, and she didn't have anyone anymore, and she was sitting crying on a log one day when a cart appeared in the distance. And coming down the path was a cart that said traveling plants, and she met a much younger Sister Magnus. Well, not much younger, I guess, because she's pretty ancient, so she was old then too. But Magnus invited her to come back to their settlement because she could have a whole new family. And so she did, and this is the biggest place she's ever lived. So leaving it feels scary, but she trusts you.
Hey.
Yeah, and also she tells you about how, was it last year she was the
recipient. Yeah, she tells you about how she was the recipient of the pearlescent seed that you now have. Mm. And that the gift that the fruit of the night bloom gave to her was strength. And that's because she had always felt so weak and afraid. And the night bloom knew that she needed something that would give her courage and protection.
Mm-hmm. Great. So love that for you. Cool. So we've got some weapons, I'm assuming. I believe I had a scimitar and a short bow. You got anything else lying around?
They don't have weapons in the sisterhood. She was guarding the Nightbloom tent. Like, she's the one who kind of is the muscle. But they don't have a lot of weaponry around. But she is very strong, and she's capable of using the weapons that you have. And you have a decent amount of them, I feel like.
I mean, she's got all my stuff right now, so.
Yeah.
Great.
She understands the assignment. She understands.
Yeah, she's used to being kind of the bodyguard.
Well, so you feel like we've gathered everything that we could possibly gather from this camp. We got all Brother Zine's old shit. He leave anything good around?
She gathered a lot more spliffs.
Right.
Should we roll a d20 to see how many, Allison?
Yes. 7.
Right. 7. And everything else from Brother Zane's house has been cleared out by either Dr. Christina or potentially Brother Zane on his escape route.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Brother Zane, where the fuck is he?
Mm-hmm.
Pluv, where do you think Brother Zane went if he wasn't the witch that came out of the hut, which is my theory?
Sister Pluvius thinks for a second. And she says that
it's possible that he too is on his way to Othar, because if you want to get lost, where better than in a crowded place?
Mm-hmm. But she doesn't really know. He never talked about his life in specific terms before he came to the settlement.
All right.
Well, I mean, I'm in the mood for a little girls trip. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking we try out Othar. I know it's a big, big city, but the thing about me is that I have experience going to all the best and biggest of cities. So even if you're a little bit nervous, I can show you exactly where to go, exactly how to speak, exactly what to wear. And before you know it, you'll be as popular as me. You in? You on board?
Will you roll up one more persuasion check?
Sure will. 20.
Wow.
Too powerful.
Oh my God.
So powerful.
She's in and she stands up as straight as she can, which is, you know, she's still pretty short, but she's ready for this.
Wow, you look gorgeous like that. You should always stand that straight.
She nods and says,
I will.
Great.
And she gets on a pony and is holding the little glass jar in one hand and puts all the stuff on and gets on the horse. And
Blue, as you're... maybe just bring a second pony. I just never know when I'm going to come back from the astral state, and it might just be good. Like, and it's, we got a lot of stuff. Like, maybe just we bring like two ponies. I'm just thinking.
Yeah. Okay. So she wraps another rein in her hand and is guiding the second pony, like has both reins in the hand at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Never ridden a horse. So as you're leaving the sisterhood settlement, the remaining sisters are waving and cheering as you go. But would they see Cass? No, I don't think they would. So they don't.
Wave,
no one
they
says
wave
anything
to Sister Pluvius, I think.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so just before we're about to leave, we're still on the pony.
Yeah.
Pluv, can you just gather everyone round real quick, like real close?
Sister Pluvius calls out,
all sisters, come here. Cassandra has an important message for you.
And they do. The remaining sisters. There's not as many of them left now because a lot of them have already gone on their own way.
Maybe like 40.
Okay. So, they're going to gather around and then
hold me up. Hold me up high in my little jar.
She holds you up high.
Hold me up high in my little jar. Sisters, it is I, Cassandra Kastronach, in my astral state.
They go,
I know. I'm so glorious to behold. Just want to let you know, I'm going to go off on a little expedition, but thank you so much for all of your time and support. And I wanted to leave you with a gift. Pluvius, could you go into my bag and take out one of my most magical healing crystals?
Oh, yeah, she'll dig through your bag, but there are several crystals in there, so you might want to be more specific.
Choose the one that feels the most powerful to you.
Ooh. An insight check for Pluvius.
8.
Yeah. So, the purple one.
She likes purple.
Yes, the purple one. This purple crystal shall remind you of your undying oath to Sax Paura and the fact that I, Cassandra Kastronach, love you more than anyone will ever love you in your lives. Thank you so much. Godspeed.
And then she whispers to Pluvius,
now throw the crystal.
Sister Pluvius throws the crystal into the crowd.
And it hits the dirt with like a, you know.
Great. Now dramatically ride off.
Sister Pluvius gives her horse a gentle kick and she rides off and the other one follows along and you trot on your ponies out of the settlement.
Goodbye.
Her voice fades into the distance.
The sisters are waving and cheering as you go and they're saying things like,
we won't forget you. Come back soon. Sax Paura.
And sure enough, you come across a fork in the road where the path divides. A wooden sign tacked to a tree reads to Othar City with painted arrows pointing in both directions. One of the paths curves up a tall, craggy hill and the other leads directly into the forest. The paths are labeled High Road and Low Road.
Hey, Pluv, thoughts on the High Road versus the Low Road? Tell me everything.
Sister Pluvius tells you that the High Road is the safer, longer path. That is the one that she has taken before. The low road is shorter and more dangerous, and you'd have to be prepared to defend yourself. She seems nervous about going down the low road, but she's in your thrall, so I think that she'd probably do whatever you tell her to do.
Yeah. I mean, so in my bag is my sneaky cloak. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have you go ahead and put that on.
Oh, no.
Oh,
smart. I'm also going to have you go ahead and put on that crown. That's right.
Cool.
Feeling good about that, Pluv? Feeling real good.
Sister Pluvius is very excited. What a day. Yeah, okay. She can put on your stuff. And so she does that.
Also, I would like you to equip the scimitar.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Riley's been studying, you guys.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's probably all we got right now. And yeah, just keep me handy but hidden if you can. Don't put me in the bag of holding because I'm pretty sure that's going to do some crazy shit. And we're going to confidently ride onto that low road.
Oh my God, Riley.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
It's like you didn't listen to Michelle Obama at all.
She said when they take the high road, we take the low, right?
We take the lower road.
So Cass is going to take the low road. Not surprising.
Wow, shots fired.
Oh my God, I'm so anxious.
The low road veers off to the right, hugging the base of the craggy hill and cutting through the forest. And the sun is warm, but the thick canopy of leaves overhead provides cool shade. And through gaps in the trees, you may be able to glimpse brief views of the high road as it winds along the hill above. And so as soon as you enter this kind of like foresty area of the low road, the ground, you know, it crunches a little beneath your feet. It's like a hushed vibe. There are no sounds of birds. It is silent and it's kind of eerie.
That's not good.
It's always
that's
a good sign.
Okay,
that's not good.
Once we get the eerie vibe, I would like to tell Ploof to put her hood up.
Okay. So as you're riding, we would like, I guess, you know, you can still see, even though you're a puddle of ooze. So give us a perception roll.
And actually, can we get a perception roll from Pluvius as well?
Yeah. 10.
11.
Okay. Do you think that that's...
Yeah, I think you see the sign.
Yeah.
Does it open up my eyes?
Yes.
You see an old faded sign tacked to a tree, and Sister Pluvius can see it too. And it says, "Reward offered. 5,000 gold pieces to anyone who can wake up a young girl in a cursed sleep. Location, Upper Thicket. Ask for Finlow."
Upper Thicket. Are there any thickets in our vicinity, or...?
Sister Pluvius nods and tells you that Upper Thicket is a large village on the road to Othar City.
Oh, great. Noted.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Yeah, so we'll back up to the high road party.
So yeah, you've been riding for a while at this point. You're probably getting close to the top of that hill, Valen, do you think?
Yeah, you're not quite up at the top yet. It's been a lot of silence so far.
Kiki is coming around the corner being like, I came in like a wrecking ball.
So the hills are alive with the sound of Kiki.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, this is a good opportunity to talk if you'd like about, you know, I know you've caught Dr. C up a little bit, but you haven't really had a conversation about anything since the mansion happened.
Mm. Yeah. Hi, Anya. I don't know if you're like meditating or something. I know that's something you might do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was meditating and thinking of healing frequencies.
Wow. Hey, so when you said I looked all green and stuff, how long was I like that for?
Oh, we thought you were dead. So
how did you find my body? Because the last thing I remember is a battle and then some tea, and that was about it.
Do tell, what is this battle? Who was there? What was the tea? Was it green? Was it oolong?
I'm not sure.
I guess the top questions are about the tea.
But there was this vulture queen there, and we had a light, slow battle is the best way to describe it.
Oh yeah, it was
gentle,
so bad.
Just like an essence of a battle.
Dr. C, you have to speak more plainly. I do not understand what light, gentle essence of battle is.
I honestly don't either.
Like a battle-flavored LaCroix?
You know how, like, there's a lotion, and then there's, like, a cream, and then there's, like, a toner? I'd be more like a toner. So not, like, heavy on hydration, but, like, it was there, and it helps. Mm. Both of us, you're just kind of, like, lightly hitting each other.
With, like, sharp blades, or...
No, no, no. And then I think she maybe, I don't know, fell to the ground or something, and then there was, like, this big green light, and that's all I remember.
Big green light?
Yeah.
After you obviously slay her in battle, because there's no way you lightly hit each other.
No, like, battle is truly, battle. It was weird light slaps. It was just like the... Here... That's the sound that we basically made
in the battle, truly.
Then I woke up in a treehouse.
Yes. So I guess we found you in cave and you looked super dead and green, veiny, poison situation.
Mm-hmm. How did we end up in the small naked people, sweaty naked people tree land?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think that's how they self-identify, okay. But I do understand what you mean by that. So we found your body. Cass was like, no, no, she dead. We leave her behind. Cass and I had like a moment.
Okay, so let's put a pin in that too. So Cass wanted to leave me behind.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Like for sure.
For sure, 100%.
Kiki, she said, Kiki.
Sup?
Did Cass want to leave me behind?
And Kiki takes this minute to think and then she's like, did you want to be left behind?
Okay, but did she leave? Did she want me to be left behind?
Did you want her to want to leave you behind?
I don't know.
Me neither.
Okay, so she did want to leave me behind.
Yeah, she did.
Great.
But, you know, Kiki wasn't there yet. We hadn't found Kiki yet because Cass and I, we try to move this big stone door to get out of this big cave. And then you know who moved it? I'm going to let him tell that part of the story. Bryn.
Bryn did.
Dr. C just stares at Bryn, looks back at Anya, looks back at Bryn. Looks back at Anya, looks back at Bryn.
And Anya shakes her head proudly. She's like, yes, Bryn did. And Bryn kind of wiggles his thin shoulders in pride and holds up one muscle and like kind of gives you a nod.
God, I actually visually know what that looks like. I feel like I've seen it on stage.
And when Bryn moved the door, guess who was there in our cart with all of our horses and whatnot? Kiki, proud, sitting. Black eye blazing. No idea what happened to her. Kiki!
Kiki is like shocked at the haiku that just came out of Anya. Kiki is like, oh, I didn't realize I was in the presence of an artiste.
The last time I saw Kiki, she was, yeah, we were in the sky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, when you peed on the forest?
Look.
Ew.
I did not. And also, I don't believe that Bryn moved that door. I bet Kiki did. Kiki? Kiki, did you move that door?
Do you want me to move the door?
All right. So, Bryn, how did you move that door?
He frowns at you because he heard what you said and he didn't like it. And he says, with my muscles.
Yes. And Dr. C goes, mm-hmm. Okay, so you moved it. And then Kiki was just there?
Yeah.
And then Christian just picked me up and just flew me?
Yeah, because Cass was really trying to leave you behind and Christian did not give option. Mm. And then we ran into tiny, tiny, greasy, naked. Well, they weren't naked yet, but they took us back to village.
And then they took you back to the village and then they got naked.
Not quite in that order, but yes. You're caught up.
Yeah, I guess I am. And why was the lead singer from the Smashing Pumpkins there?
Billy Corrigan?
Oh, no, I'm so sorry.
Are you thinking of Brother Zane, a.k.a. Billy Zane?
Yes, there it is.
I was like, rest in peace.
Also, how do we take off these rings on our hands?
Kiki, how did you get yours off?
Sorry, get what off?
Oh, God.
The ring on your hand.
Yeah.
How did you get it off?
Why do you want to take your rings off?
How did you take yours off?
My friend took it off for me.
Mm. Dr. C looks at Anya. What the fuck happened?
I know, right?
Oh! Can you all just give us a perception roll as you have this circular conversation?
19.
13. Oh, man, mine's 2.
So that feels so good. Kiki does not see it, but Dr. C and Anya both see a copy of that same old sign tacked to a tree that says, "Reward offered 5,000 gold pieces to anyone who can wake up a young girl in a cursed sleep. Location, upper thicket. Ask for Finlow."
Dr. C, Finlow! Finlow from the cave!
Dr. C's like, "I don't remember.
Upper thicket, is that where we are?"
Wait, Kiki, you can read?
No, sorry, that was Kosha. Kiki doesn't know anything.
We read it out loud.
Kiki doesn't see it, and even if she had, she couldn't read it.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Yes, can't read it.
Makes sense.
I think maybe we should go to this upper thicket. What is a thicket? And how is it upper?
We'll see.
I don't know. I don't like the outdoors.
Kiki, leaps up onto her horse and is like, "I love the outdoors."
Are you standing on your horse?
A little bit. Like, crouching.
Yeah.
Just kind of like, you know, trying to get a really nice view of what's happening.
Man, that is really impressive. I would love an acrobatics roll on that.
Please.
16.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you watch as Kiki starts off in like a squatting position, making sure that she's balanced using the saddle.
Very gracefully.
And then, yes, very gracefully. And as the horse is galloping, you see her slowly lift her hands off of the saddle and get up into a standing position, keeping that balance intact. And you're watching her confidently surf the horse.
Wait, I have a question for you guys. Is Kiki, now that she is doing that, is Kiki, seeing anything down below?
She's got a better vantage point.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a great
question.
I think that up ahead, you see, is that smoke, Allison?
It is. It is smoke.
You see smoke up ahead. And if you look below, you can see all of those dense trees, but there's some pockets of sight going down there.
Back down on the low road, Sister Pluvius and her Jaro Cass.
Mm-hmm. I feel like while we've been trotting along, I think I've been gassing Pluv up as much as I can because we're love bombing. We're in it. We're bringing her into the inner folds. Mm-hmm. So just telling her how great she looks, how Aww. Regal she looks in that crown, how incredible she looks in that cloak.
Yes.
And also just sprinkling in some little factoids about my former traveling companions, just to be wary in case you meet back up with them. Mm-hmm. For example,
you were telling me about that seed, that special seed and all of its special powers.
Yeah.
And I remember Kiki trying to convince me that that seed makes you age more quickly, but that's a lie, isn't it?
Whoa.
Sister Pluvius nods and tells you,
"Yes, that is a lie."
Yeah, and
unless that is what the Night Bloom thinks you need.
Yeah, I doubt it.
And she sits back on the horse and she thinks about that for a second, and then she nods and she's like,
"Huh." Yeah. And for example, Dr. Christina used to be my best friend, and then she slapped me across the face. And Anya was there when I was slapped across the face. And when I asked Anya whose side she was on, she couldn't even choose. So I'm just, just wanted you to know, in terms of people that you need to trust and might want to have on your side, not those three.
Sister Pluvius clutches the jar a little tighter, but not too tight, and says,
"I'm on your side."
Good.
This cute little puddle.
"And I'm on your side, Plue." We're on the same side.
How wonderful.
Let's both roll for perception.
18.
Wow.
Ooh. Okay, great.
Really a good fucking roll.
I got an 11, but that's enough to see as well. And you can definitely see, Cass, that a little ways off the path, there is what looks like the remains of a campsite. You can see a cold, burned out fire pit. And tucked underneath a bush, just the edges of some bedrolls that are poking out, covered with a layer of leaves, but still in good condition.
Do I perceive any danger?
No, you don't perceive anything different in a danger sense than what you've been perceiving so far in the eerie forest with the no birds.
So, I don't perceive any traps.
You can investigate for traps.
Yeah, I'm going to investigate, which means... Does Pluv have to, pour me out?
Yes, definitely.
Does she tip you over and pour you out?
Yeah, I'm going to be Pluv, just real quick, if you can, keep watch
mm-hmm.
and
let me know if you hear anything, you see anything. But if you could just, like, dump me out on the side over here, I'm just going to investigate.
Dump me out.
Which is something that best friends tend to do together. So just, like, letting you know, this is a very special moment for us. So if you can, like, investigate the general environment, make sure, like, no one's sneaking up on us. And I'm going to go investigate this, like, weird little campsite situation.
Great. Sister Pluvius pours you out onto the ground. and you both make an investigation check, please.
My investigation is 18.
Nice.
Sister Pluvius rolled a natural one.
Oh, oh God.
Pluvius. You'll get there. You'll get
well,
there.
Well, I think Sister Pluvius is pretty distracted by Puddle Cast. Yeah. Like, it hasn't really totally sunk in yet.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Cassandra, as you're puddling around the campsite, you don't see any traps, but you do notice that bush again. You see some brush over by there that looks artfully arranged.
Can I slither my way in there?
That's a good question. I don't think you can pick anything up.
I don't think you can either.
I think you just can...
But I want to go see what it is.
Yeah, okay. So as you go over to this brush and you're sinking around...
And I'm assuming that means that I'm not disturbing it. Like, I can go, like, slither in and, like, peek at it without necessarily, like...
Like, do leaves and sticks get and dirt, like, get stuck to you?
Yeah, anything super light, I think, could stick to you.
Yeah,
okay. So you're getting some leaves and some, you know, little specks of dirt on you and stuff. But
yeah.
as you go over there, you can feel how it goes from dirt ground on your puddle belly to more of like just a brush feeling. And it also sinks down a little bit, almost like there is something underneath that brush.
Can I squirm through the brush?
Yes.
To see what's in it?
Yes, you can squirm through the brush and you sink down to the bottom and you're sinking all around a trunk in the ground.
Oh.
And you're on the sides of it now.
Okay.
So is Cass like wet dough over the top of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I can't open it, right?
No.
I don't have any strength or do
no.
I?
No.
But I mean, can I seep through the cracks? Not like physically open it, but like sneak in like a
no,
little.
No, you can't get like that thin to seep through the cracks of a closed trunk.
Excuse me.
Shots fired?
And I don't, there's no, I'm not like, ooh, it's vibrating in a menacing way or anything like that. It feels like a normal trunk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It reminds you actually of when you, the first day you were here and you found that trunk.
Oh, yeah.
In the water.
Okay. So I'm going to go slither back over to Pluv and
be like, hey, girl, fun update. So I've got a little task for you. This is like a really fun thing that I did when I started adventuring, which is I found a trunk and there was stuff inside. And today it's your turn to find a trunk and see what's inside. So I'm going to wait over here by the ponies and keep watch. And if you want to go in that brush pile and open up that trunk and just like see what's in there, that seems great. But also keep your sneaky cloak hood up and keep that scimitar equipped because you never know.
Okay, great. Sister Pluvius goes over to that little, you know, brush over the hole and she pushes it to one side and she is able to easily lift out the trunk. And she does open it, and yeah, she might see some stuff inside. But you didn't ask her to tell you what was in there, did you?
No, but it would feel really weird if she didn't.
Sister Pluvius is used to following orders, so like, clarity is...
So what does she do? She goes and looks at it and stares and like is just standing silently in front of it?
Yeah,
and staring at it.
Okay, hey Pluv, what's in the trunk?
She tells you that in the trunk there is a leather pouch and... a note.
Great. Take it.
She does. She takes it.
Cool. Let's get back on these ponies.
Okay. Cool. Back on them.
And
I'm curious about that note.
Hold on.
Okay.
We're going to get back on these ponies. And I would like for Pluv to keep riding, but to place the note in front of my jar.
Okay.
Stop it.
It's so cute.
She does that. You want to know what the note says?
Yeah.
All right.
It says, "Greeting, adventurers. I have heard of your quote-unquote talents through a colleague of mine who has advised me to leave my instructions in this trunk. I have a proposition for you. There are rumors of an artifact called the Tome of Tone hidden in the village of Upper Thicket, just outside Othar City, to the northeast of here. Small merchant town. If you can acquire this artifact for me, I will reward you handsomely. A taste of what's to come is included as a deposit. Meet me at the Swimming Bear Tavern in Othar City in 1 week's time with the book. Ask for the name Shadow. Until then, good luck. Yours truly, a friend." Quote unquote.
Oh, more friends. We love that. Cool. Can Cass squirm her way into the pouch?
Sure. Sure.
Great.
You, all of Cass can't fit into the pouch, but you can certainly poke your puddle head.
I just want to peek my little puddle head in there.
You do some quick counting and you see that it's a sack of gold coins and there are 500 gold pieces.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Just
wow.
A taste.
Hey, Pluv. Guess what? Guess what we found? We now have 500 more gold pieces than we used to have. And because we're best friends, we share everything. What's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine, as long as we're best friends.
Wow. Sister Pluvius nods. She's like completely under your control at this point. She trusts in you, but you do have to be very clear with what you ask her to do.
Great.
And also, like, when we get to Other City, like, what do you want to do first? You want to, like, get a little makeover? Like, ooh. Like freshen up your hair? Like, get some new clothes? Like, what are you thinking?
She says that she's heard of something called a churro, and she'd really like to try a churro.
I think we can arrange that. I'm also going to freshen up your hair because it does need a little bit of help, but we'll make sure we get a churro.
Says the puddle.
Is Pluvius clothed?
She's wearing the cloak.
Okay.
But under the cloak, she is nude.
Nice. So wait, so actually, Pluv, I just want to check with you real quick, because you look great in the cloak. I did notice that you are nude under the cloak, and I happen to have in my possession, I'm going to keep my dress because it's custom. I also have this rhinestone gown that I wore on television, which is a pretty big deal. You might not know what it is. We'll get into that at some point. Is that something you'd like to put on?
Sister Pluvius would love to put that dress on. It's going to be really big on her, but cute.
Okay, great. Let's take a little pause so you can put on that rhinestone gown and then put the cloak back on over it. Make sure the crown is still on your head and put the hood over it.
Yeah, back up to the high road party as you get Sister Pluvius dressed.
Kiki, your balance and skill on this horse is shocking.
Flip again, Kiki. Let me see you flip one more time.
Kiki, like, scoffs and then gracefully gets back into her saddle position. But I want to make sure before she does that, can we have a little repeat of what she's seen? Like, she obviously didn't see Cassan because Cassan's a pile of goo.
Yeah, she saw a curl of smoke coming out of the top of the hill, almost as though, you know, there was something beneath that might be causing it.
Where there's smoke.
Okay, so that's what she does. So exactly, where there's smoke. So Kiki just, like, scoffs, points to the smoke, and then gives Brock a little kick in the groin and, like, speeds
in
up.
In the groin?
Jesus! That's where you're kind of supposed to kick him. Like, you know that, like, we would call it on a woman.
She's not wrong. Yeah. It's just, yeah, it sounds really dramatic when you say in the groin.
Yeah, wow.
Well, no, it's just where your heel goes. Yeah. Is like, it's like in
you
this,
kick them on, you know, their bikini line.
Yeah, in their hip area.
I never thought about it like that.
That's not groin. That's, like, hip area.
It's like when you say it like that, though, it definitely sounds a lot more violent.
It is violent. I feel very uncomfortable about the domestication of horses.
Yeah, same.
But Kiki likes to, you know, colonize everybody.
Yeah.
You're riding at an expert pace. It's almost like you and Brock have really bonded at this point, I would say.
So Anya looks over at Dr. C and is like, no, shit. We should go.
Yep. So Dr. C tries to do the horse thing too. Because remember, she is a horse girl. She did grow up in a boarding school with horses.
Yeah, I believe at one point she said that she was a horse. So.
And Anya leans in and whispers to Butter, run.
Should we do some animal handling just to see, like, yeah, let's how this do that. Goes?
Yeah, for both of you.
23. Whoa.
Wow.
Oh, this is going to be good, you guys. I rolled a natural one.
Oh, no.
Well, so that's a one. That's two. It's a two, you guys.
So as you do the same thing that you saw Kiki do, instead of it going faster, it goes straight up into the air and knocks you right off. Could you please roll for damage? 1d6.
Three.
So Dr. C takes 3 damage for falling off her horse.
Oh, boy.
Falling off Cass's horse, actually.
Yeah.
That feels right now that we've said it out loud.
Yeah. Good work, Cordelia.
Cordelia runs off.
Oh, God. Wow. Oh, no.
That's what you get for stealing my horse.
I mean, I assume Butter has listened to my ask.
Oh, Butter immediately took your directions and like a rocket.
Dr. C goes, that's fine, and goes, Christian!
Oh, nice.
Great. Christian swoops right down and picks you up by the brass shoulder talon pads and lifts you up into the air, following close behind. So, Kiki, as you're riding up there, you continue on the path as it curves and winds up the craggy hill. And as you near the top, you see an open door built into the side of the hill. And a little ways above you, if you look up, you'll see that same curl of smoke coming out of a hole in the ground. The breeze shifts, blowing a plume of the spicy, pleasant-smelling smoke in your direction.
Ooh.
Okay. So Kiki is like, oh, this is the door that Dr. C wanted me to open. So she busts out her blowgun and she opens the door.
Whoa. Okay.
Aww.
It's so cute. It's a hobbit house.
Oh, is this where Brina lives?
Kiki, you can see on the counter there is a freshly made pheasant of some sort that is still steaming hot and a few root vegetables that have been roasted as well.
Okay, so Kiki like immediately goes to the pheasant. Then she remembers that plant that was able to like eat something. And she like takes a bite of the root vegetable. And then she's kind of like, eh, nothing happened. And so she grabs the pheasant.
So just to describe the space, I guess, that we're in.
Yes.
It is a cozy little space built into the side of the hill. It is basically a one-room dugout that's filled with all manner of curiosities. And for a room built into the dirt, it is spotlessly clean. And in the center of the room is a round table. It's covered in thick fabric. Against an earthen wall, a cauldron is bubbling over a cheerful fire, which is the source of that spicy smoke that you smelled outside. And wooden shelves covered in knickknacks line the walls on one side of the fire, and there's a locked cabinet pressed against the wall on the other side. And in one corner is a rumpled nest of bedclothes.
Okay, wait, what's causing the spicy fire?
There's something bubbling in that cauldron that that's where like the smell is coming from. There's something cooking over there.
Okay, I think Kiki wants to do some sniffing around and investigate this cauldron. And she's wondering if this is what some people would call a grotto.
So as Kiki has entered, Anya is, I guess, like right behind her. Dr. C is flying somewhere up above. And yeah, Cass is down being goo on the lower road with the Sister Pluvius.
I would love to know what Kiki is thinking as you take a big bite of that pheasant leg.
Kiki is feeling like so much relief. I think she was like really forlorn before and feeling lost and homesick. But the pheasant has given her a renewed lust for life. She is feeling a new sense of purpose. She is ready to investigate the shit out of this grotto. And she feels a little bit more like herself again.
Oh, nice. Anya, what are you thinking and feeling as you feel the breeze hit your face with such satisfaction?
Anya is having an amazing time on the back of strong and capable Butter. She sees Kiki sort of disappear into this hole and thinks, oh, I really hope that this is actually a place of rest where I'm not going to be married off. My son isn't going to be murdered. We're not going to witness any cult-like action. I just love a chill vibe. Mm. She puts that out into the universe.
Mm. Nice. Dr. Christina.
As Dr. Christina is flying through the air, mm-hmm. and is looking down below, and she's seen that Kiki's gone somewhere inside that hill, she's still trying to piece together what she missed while she was asleep and doesn't like that she looked so gross while she was asleep. That's also creepy that they just looked at her while she was asleep. She's trying to decide if she should fly on or stick with the group.
Mm. Mm. Mm-hmm. Stone Cece.
It's a mystery.
And Cassandra Casternak, a puddle of what you once were.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts and feelings?
I mean, a lot has changed for Cass, but she's feeling pretty good, mostly because of Pluv. because it's been a minute since she's had a second in command that actually knows what it means to be a second in command and isn't trying to overthrow her or, you know, start some shit or spread rumors about her. It's been a toxic environment, and she's finally feeling like she's in control again.
And with that, that's been another episode of RHO D&D.
Thanks for listening to Real Housewives of Dungeons & Dragons. Want more RHO D&D? Head to patreon.com/housewivesofd&d for access to our player character sheets, ad-free episodes, merch drops, our Discord mansion, detailed notes and confessionals from our DMs, full-length video versions of our episodes, our bi-weekly behind-the-scenes podcast, live events, bonus content, and more. patreon.com/housewivesofd&d. Follow us across social media at Housewives of D&D and send us your thoughts at housewivesofd&d@gmail.com. Our DMs are Valen Shore and Allison Zada, and our players are Riley Rose Critchlow, Elizabeth Ho, Liz Jenkins, Kosha Patel, and Nicole Weiland. Original music by Valen Shore and sound design by Kevin Senzaki. Real Housewives of Dungeons & Dragons is produced by Reality RPG and is not associated with Bravo or Wizards of the Coast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.